And let me just read a couple of verses, and then we will pray. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, let's say that together. Therefore is a very, very important word. As the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another. With long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. In Jesus' name, and the church says, let us pray. Father, we praise you for this day. We thank you for all the work we're doing in Mexico. We pray over Steve and Carol again for perfect safety, perfect provision. And Lord, how those children are just so excited to have them there. And the incredible, all the hard work they're doing, bless them. And Lord, it's an honor for us to be able to support them and help them. And not only that, the orphanage as well, with all the children and the new little ones that have arrived as well. So Lord, bless that work and as you have done, and bless Halton Christian School, our local work. And Lord, this morning, bless your word. Help me to teach it not only faithfully, accurately, Lord, but I pray for the rhema of God, the revelation of God to just wash over my mind, my heart, my spirit, and that I teach only what you would have me to teach this morning, and that you would bring all things to my remembrance, Lord. I thank you that this word this morning, let it make it come alive in the hearts of your sheep. And Lord God, what an important word, a vital word for this day, the hour that we're living in. So help us, Lord, and let it just be put into not just our position, but our practice. And Father, we pray again. We thank you for all those, especially, Lord, for Michael, his surgery, just continued healing. And Lord, the COVID, the thing that's spreading throughout everywhere, Lord, we pray over our doctors, our nurses, and those who are ill, that you would touch their body. Okay, in Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. This morning, we're going to look at the new man. These verses that we're about to cover, I cannot even begin to tell you how important they are. All the Bible's important, amen? And sometimes, especially the verses we're about to cover, they become so familiar to the believer that, well, we kind of forget why are they there? We just know them, but we don't really, or do we apply them, and how do we apply them, and why are we applying them? And so this morning, you know, we have learned about our position in Christ Jesus, amen? We've also learned how to translate our position into practice. Now, the last time we were together there in verse 5, we put to death the old man, we put off the deeds of the flesh, and then in verse 10, we put on the new man, which is our new life in Christ Jesus. Now, with all that being said, if you'll notice again that word in verse 12, therefore. We have to go back and find out why it is therefore, and that will take us back to verse 10, okay? And let's begin right there this morning concerning the new man. It says, and we have put on the new man. Now listen carefully. The translation of the word new man is actually new humanity, okay? Meaning the new humanity which is in Christ Jesus our Lord that's never existed before. So the body of Christ. So it says put on the new humanity or the new man and who has been renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And verse 11 again. Last Sunday we got it, but I want to see it again. Where there is, or literally it would be translated, where there cannot be, meaning Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, a slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all, meaning Christ is all that matters because we are in Christ. Amen? Now, so those that are in Christ, we form one brand new, never existed before, humanity in one body, which is called the church, okay? We are the new man, and we're the body of Christ on earth. We're citizens of heaven. Remember Ephesians 2:15 that I shared with you last week, which says this, that God created in himself one new man, not two, one new man from the two, meaning the Jew and the Gentile, which formed the body of Christ, which Christ is the head, okay? Now, the word new means it has never previously existed. It means it never existed before. Listen, when we come to Christ Jesus, what does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is what? New creation. You have never existed before. This is a brand new, absolutely brand new thing. And it says old things have passed away. Where the old man is passing away, even though, yes, he's tagging along trying to control us. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things now become new, things that never existed before. We are now in the body of Christ. We are the new man. So when a moment ago, when I read verse 11 about there can't be Greek or Jew, Scythian, you know, or barbarian and all the rest of it, that means, loved one, that every believer, as I said last Sunday, we are all created equal now in God, in Christ. Amen? God has absolutely no favorites. And remember what I told you, that identity doesn't come from ethnicity. It doesn't come from heritage or status or color. It comes only from Christ Jesus our Lord. It means that every barrier, here we are, the new humanity, the new man, the church, every barrier is destroyed in Christ Jesus. Amen? It doesn't matter if you're a Scythian and you're not a Scythian because they don't exist anymore. You understand? Although there are a lot of swamp people, remember last Sunday? Yeah. Or a barbarian. You know what I'm saying? No. We're not a Jew. We're Gentile. There's no such thing as Jewish Christianity. There's no such thing as Gentile Christianity. There is only Christianity, and Christianity is Christ. Amen. So we are all melted into one body. We're one together. Many members in one body, but we are one. We are all connected. We are the new man, the new humanity in Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Love one new man. Now, beginning with that, to understand that, it says in verse 12, therefore, because of everything I just told you, he says, and look what happens. I want you to look at our privileged, the position that we have. Look at this. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, praise the Lord. Listen, that is the privileged position of the new man, which is the church, the new humanity. Amen? The one body. Elect is, we don't use that word hardly anymore. It's not in our vocabulary, but it used to be. In the old days, elect was a very precious word. Matter of fact, in the Bible, the New Testament, it's the third most used word. You know, there's saints, disciples, and then the elect. Now, listen very carefully. Elect is a beautiful word. It's not a bad word. It means this: God picked you. Isn't that incredible? No, God picked you. God chose you. Listen, there are people who don't even like me, but God chose me. Do you understand? I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. God himself chose you. When did he do that? Ephesians 1:4. You have been chosen. God chose you in him, meaning in Christ. When? Can you believe that? I mean, come on, church. Before time ever existed, there in eternity, when there was only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, listen, you weren't chosen in time. You weren't chosen in this world. You were chosen before anything ever existed, before you were ever even born. Man, I'm going to tell you, like you've heard me say, your name is old eternal as God. Do you understand? You have been in God's heart forever and ever and ever. Why? You have been chosen to do what? Because you're special? No. But you have been chosen to carry out the plans and the purposes of God in this new humanity, this the new man, the church. Amen. It says in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, God who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. What a glorious thing, loved one. And not only are we the new man, the church, the body of Christ, we're not only the elect of God, he says we are holy. What does that mean? Well, it means that we are a separated people, and we're separated from the world, even though we're in the world, and we're separated to God for whatever he wants. Amen? We are saints of God. Like you hear me say, a person is either a saint or an ain't. Amen? Now, and also look at the other one, beloved. Now, you know why I call you loved ones? Because that's what that word means. You're loved by God himself. You know, that is a great scripture. That's Calvary love. Not Calvary Chapel love, but Calvary. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Amen? That's the kind of love. He loves us. Now, very important, we have a command that we need to really obey and embrace. The command to put on is in the Greek, it's in what we call the aorist tense, okay? And that literally means this. This command needs to be obeyed at once. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's something that we do immediately. It says, put on or clothe yourself. In other words, if you're God's elect, live like God's elect. Amen? That's what it says. So put on, look what we're going to put on now. Tender mercies, five things. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, which are all of these, are expressions of the agape of God or the love of God. So the new humanity, the church, you know, we have a wardrobe, which is Christ, amen, that we put on. And there are some verses that I cannot articulate the way I want to. I know the depth of it, but I'm just not, unless God supernaturally just moved in my heart and gave me the sentence or the paragraph I need, it's hard to explain. Does that make sense? Because when I read verse 12 and that command that's there, loved one, listen to me now. This wardrobe, verse 12 is absolutely, it's paramount. Now, I want you to look at these, the five virtues that are there. All are fruit of the Spirit, and they are produced by the fruit of the Spirit. Does that make sense? In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is not Bill Quinn. It's not my fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer. Verse 12 is so important because this tells us something. This tells us how the new humanity or the new man fellowships in the body with one another. Does that make sense? And so this is like community identity because we're all in one body together. And obedience to these five virtues or these five fruits, if you will, they enable us as the body of Christ to live in harmony one with another. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is not an option, loved one. Again, it is a command to put on or clothe yourself. So the new man, the new humanity, listen carefully now. Whenever, and unfortunately you've seen it and I have seen it, and I hope I never see it here. Whenever the church of Jesus Christ that he purchased with his own blood, when the church fails to practice the virtues that are listed in verse 12, loved one, they will always fall prey to the vices in chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 8. Man, we don't want to ever be there. And I know, you know, that when you come into a church, sometimes you come in to other churches and you feel like, man, this is the coldest church I've ever been in. You know what I mean? The chosen, frozen, or whatever. And the thing is that I know that unfortunately many believers, they've kind of like taken off some of the garments that they're commanded to put on, and they just put them in the closet and they leave them there, and they don't no longer believe they have to use them or obey them. And that's wrong, amen? Verse 12 is absolutely paramount. So the first thing that a new man, a new creation, meaning the entire church, not one individual, every one of us, the first thing that we put on, it says, is tender mercies. In other words, we have a heart of compassion, yet we live in a heartless world. Amen? But it's not just compassion and tenderness toward those outside the body. It's concerning those in the body. That we need to have tender mercies with one another. Amen? In other words, compassion. We need to be able to see other people just exactly the way that Jesus sees them, because we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're his eyes on earth. We're his arms on earth. We're his mouth on earth. Amen? Now, with all that being said, tender mercy means literally love, which is characterized by deep-seated compassion. Where you see people that are not saved and it breaks your heart. Or you see people in the body of Christ that are hurting. And when one hurts, we all hurt. Amen? When one is honored, we're all honored. And we care one for another. We esteem others better than ourselves, meaning that we love them, because Christianity makes others important. Amen? We must, the new man, all of us. When I say new man, that's not singular. It's all of us. Does that make sense? Okay. We have to see other people the way Jesus does. Do you remember in Matthew 9:35? It says that Jesus, he went out, man, he was preaching in cities, he was preaching in villages and so forth. And listen to what happened. It says that he healed every disease among the multitudes. He healed every sickness among the multitudes. There wasn't anyone, I don't know how many, 1,000, 2,000, doesn't matter. Every crippled person was healed. Every blind person was healed. Every lame, are you with me? Every fever was gone. Every sore throat was gone. Do you follow? Every blind eye was open. Think of that. There wasn't one person left, because they were all healed and made whole. Now listen to what happens, though. He says, and Jesus was healing every sickness, every disease among the people, but Jesus saw the multitudes. He saw the multitudes that were all whole and had been made whole and healed. He says, and he was moved with compassion for them. And here's why. Because they were weary. Because they were scattered. That means bewildered. And they were like sheep having no shepherd. No one to care for them, no one to protect them, no one to love them. Loved one, listen to me. The word compassion in verse 35 seems misplaced, doesn't it? It should be in verse 35, all the healings. But that everybody's already made whole, and now the compassion is Jesus looking out, everybody's well, they're celebrating, and his heart is breaking because of tender mercies. Does that make sense? And that's the way we are to be. See, we need to see other people the way that Jesus does. And whenever you see a believer that is out of church and disconnected, like some of you are that is listening live right now that need to be back in church, it should break all of our hearts, because they're like sheep and they don't have a shepherd. Are you listening to me? Oh, the shepherd's going to bring them back. But I'm telling you, see, we need one another, because we are the body of Christ. We're the new man. That's why we assemble together, loved one. So the next one, look at this now. It says, the new man, he puts on what? He's clothed with kindness. Now listen, we have the new man, the body of Christ. We have the kindest person, the most loving person that ever walked this planet living in our hearts. Amen? Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's also, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. First Corinthians 13:4. Love is kind. Our love does kind things. Christianity is love in action, if you will. It just doesn't talk about doing kind things. It reaches out and it actually does kind things to others. You know, listen, we need to be kind to one another. I need you to be kind to me. And I want to be kind to you, amen? Something happens when we operate the way Jesus intended us to operate. It's his kindness that's living in us, amen? No different than Romans 5:5. It says, where the love of God has been shed abroad, the love of God has been shed abroad, his love in your hearts, which is given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? It's his love. It's his kindness. It's his goodness that lives in us, in the body. The body of Christ should be the kindest people upon this planet, because that's the new man. I don't want to be like the priest and the Levite. Remember what they did? The guy was all beat up. They were coming down from the temple, you know, going down on the path there, and there was that guy who was all bloody. He was all beat up and halfway dead. And what did the religious people that represented God, or that were supposed to represent God, what did they do? They went and looked at him. Said, you think he's got any money? Or no, it's a joke. They looked at him and they passed by on the other side. You know why? Religion can't help anyone, but the new man can. And that's who we are. Look what else it says the new man puts on. He puts on humility. The opposite of humility is to be full of self. But see, the new man, what does the Bible teach us? Jesus told us in Luke 9:23, he said this. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, here are the requirements, here are the conditions. Let him what?
Deny himself,
disown himself. It's no longer about my plans or my life or where I'm going, what I'm doing. It says deny himself, take up the cross daily, and then follow Jesus. So humility is the opposite of being full of self. It's a lowliness of mind, like Paul the Apostle, when he said, it's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? So that the new man puts on that humility. And that means that we put on the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, which is a command. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus, our Lord, is the perfect example of humility and sacrificial love in the entire Bible. Amen? Listen, remember what he did in Philippians, what was it, 5:7? That it says, I think it's 5:7, he taking the form of a bond servant. Remember when he came, the self-emptying of the Lord, the great kenosis passage? You know, it says he took the form of a bond servant. A bond servant means slave. He took, when Jesus came to this planet, he's the master of all, but he came to be the servant of all. Amen? That's humility, loved one. Now, listen, the bond servant means he took the lowest place on the social ladder or the spectrum. But he didn't become man's slave. He was God's slave in a sense. Amen? Whatever the Father, he said, I do nothing except what the Father tells me to do. Listen, humility is needed. There's nothing. There's not one person listening to me. There's not one person in the world. There's not one person in this chapel that should be prideful. Come on. We have nothing to be prideful about, amen? We were lost, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and he has made us alive. Man, praise the Lord. Without Jesus, we can't do anything, amen? Yeah, so we are one new man, and oh, how we need to be humble one to another. If we will humble ourselves, it says that he will exalt us, amen? Now, let's look at the next one here. It says that the new man puts on meekness. Isn't that a wonderful word? There goes Billy, little old meek Billy. You've heard me say it probably a million times, and I don't know who I stole it from, but I stole it from someone, that meekness is not weakness. It's the power of God in us, which is under control. Amen? It's a picture, for example, of a colt or a horse, you know, that has been broken, all right? Yet he's under the control now of his master. So that meekness, the spirit of meekness is the spirit of Christ. We need to be a meek people because think about all the power that Jesus has. And yet, he could have blown everybody out of the water. Amen? But he didn't. See, he had all the power, all the authority, yet it was always in control. Amen? And that's what that's talking about there, that meekness. So the new man is meek. Remember what Jesus, his own description, he says, I am meek or gentle and lowly of heart. And the new man is something else. long-suffering. Are you long-suffering? I'm talking about not one of us, all of us. That word means slow burning. It means you have patience, okay? It means that you can get on 820 and you can go through and watch these people that are obviously, there's not a lot going on up there, and they drive like they're maniacs. You know what I'm saying? Listen, this is the truth. When I left Saturday, finished up the sermon or whatever. No, not Saturday. It doesn't matter. Friday or Saturday doesn't even matter. It was a day. As God is my witness, I'm driving, and you know, you're going about 65, maybe 70, while everybody's going 100. I'm in the very middle lane on 820 going west, okay? And there is a pickup truck stopped dead right in my lane. And it was immediately. I mean, I was praying tongues, I was praying everything, man. I became a Pentecostal, I don't care what it was, I became anything. I mean, Jesus, boy, you know, and I was trying, and a car over here, oh God, what am I gonna do? You know, and I finally swerved and missed him, and then I started praying because I thought everybody was gonna kill him. And do you know why he was stopped? On 820 during rush hour. He wanted to get over into that lane. No, to exit. Yeah, and I'm going, I don't even know why I told you that. However, I had patience. You see, long-suffering means to burn slow. You know, so I just burned slow all the way home. You know what I mean? So that's what we're to put on. Listen, that's important, that patience. The Bible tells us that love suffers long. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Have you noticed something here so far? Has there been any mentions of the gifts of the Spirit? Just the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that, you know, fruit show us, others, our maturity. The gifts show your ministry. You can flow in any of the beautiful gifts of the Spirit, but that doesn't mean you are mature. That doesn't mean you have a great depth of character. Fruit does that. Amen? Okay, don't ever forget that. It's very important. Now, here's the deal, guys, about the new man. The garments that we just talked about, these five pieces of clothing, which are all Jesus, okay, they can only be worn by the believer, the new man, in community. Does that make sense? All of us, not just one of us, or the pastor better be nice, he better be kind, and he's not. You know, that's not it. Are you with me? No, loved one, listen. No, these garments can only be worn in community with each other because we're the new man. And this is a relationship, see, that we're to have with one another. It's really easy for me to be humble if I'm not around anybody. Well, isn't it? I mean, I can be so patient with if I'm in isolation. You know, nobody's here. I'm happy. No, listen. So like someone said, I'm a great Christian until I get around other people. No, this is so important, loved one. And listen, only, and here's the problem that we don't want to have. That's why, I mean, we have to really understand these verses. We can only live in true harmony, in true community, as the new man should be living, as we put these five virtues into practice. Amen? And if we don't put on these clothes, loved one, listen now, we will never do verse 13. Look at it with me. It says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint or a difference or a grievance against another, watch that, even as Christ forgave you, so you might think about it. Oh, no, that's the NIV, I'm sorry. So you also must do. Now, listen to me. The new man, all of us, not one of us, the church, the new humanity, love what, listen, the new man bears, puts up, with others. That means we put up with things that we might not like. Baby Christians can drive you crazy. And then mature Christians can really drive you crazy. Do you understand? There are things that, listen, it's not easy to bear with one another. You know why? We're in the process, all of us, from going from glory to glory. Isn't that true? In other words, sanctification. We're being transformed into the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit that's working in us. However, the reason we need to bear up with one another is that, believe it or not, each believer is God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10. Amen? And that means that the portrait, maybe that the masterpiece that the master is painting, it might not be finished. So we bear with them. Does that make sense? There's not anyone. Listen, we all have things that drive people crazy. I mean, you know, I'm a weird person. You know, if the pictures are not straight in the office or I go crazy. If a drawer is not shut, like in the bathroom, you know, you have drawers. I can't do it. You know, I took my clothes the other day and I put them, you know, in the chest of drawers. Becky has them, and I always pick mine up and after the washing and whatnot. But when I put them in there, I had a pair of workout clothes. And, you know, the little string where you tie your thing together? One string was hanging out. And I pushed it, and it was hanging out that drawer. I went back to my office, which is the laundry room. I couldn't work. I mean, it was just, see, there's something wrong. Now, you know, things like that probably drive people crazy. Maybe my wife. But that's just the way it is. You know, that's the way God made me. I'm his masterpiece. Amen? So you're going to bear with me. I'm going to bear with you. So those are very, very important. You know, listen, we need to make allowances for the fault of others. We need to love others as our own self. Amen? It says in 1 Corinthians 13:7 that love, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. So bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint, if we have a grievance, a difference, loved one, against another, meaning in the body. We're not talking about in the world here, but yes, in the world we do forgive. But I'm talking about just us right now. Amen. The new man, the new humanity. You got a problem with somebody? You have unforgiveness in your heart? The Bible tells us right there, even as Christ forgave you. And you should underline, so you also must do. You are obligated to do that. You forgive them, loved one. Listen, even as. In 2:13 there of Colossians, forgive, this is the same word used for forgiving as God did for us. We have been freely, completely forgiven. Amen? And when we get to the other prison epistle of Paul, which is Philemon, which I'm going to teach after I finish Colossians, because it's part of the prison epistles. That, did you know that God dedicated an entire epistle to forgiveness? That's how important forgiveness is. Oh, loved one, listen. The Bible tells us in 2:13 of Colossians that we're not partially forgiven. We are completely forgiven. And you know, others may offend us. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Amen? Come on. We're a new people. We're a new creation. Old things are passing away. We don't live like the world. We don't think like the world. No, listen, Matthew 18:21, remember Peter comes up and says, oh, Lord, you know, how many times should I, you know, forgive my brother? Maybe 7 times, you know? In other words, forgiveness has a limit, right? And what did Jesus say? Oh, no, brother. No, how about 70 times 7? Ay, ay, ay. You know what I mean? In other words, we do that. And here's the problem. The new man. Listen to me now. The new humanity. When we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we forfeit God's forgiveness. Did you know that? Absolutely. Listen, if you're going to be right with God, you have to be right with your brother or your sister. Amen? Jesus told us, Matthew 16:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's not talking about salvation. It's not talking about when we receive our past forgiveness. It's talking about you're in trouble with the Lord. Does that make sense? We are the new humanity. And if and man, listen, that's why it says, even as, that's, you should underline that word, even as Christ forgave you. Oh, man, the same proportion. Listen, the new man freely forgives with the same degree that he has been forgiven, meaning full forgiveness, okay? One of the most heartbreaking things out of all the years I have been in ministry is to watch someone who calls himself a believer not forgive others. You know, I've had people say things to me that has literally crushed me, broken my heart, but I have to forgive them. Amen. You hear me? But the new man, sometimes those in the new man, the body, they truly believe that forgiveness is optional. It isn't. Don't be deceived. It says, so also you must do. Amen? It's very, very important, loved one. D.L. Moody told a story. It goes like this. He was talking about Peter, actually, and he said, find the man, Peter, who put the thorns on my head, meaning Jesus, of course. Tell him that I love him. And you go find the man who spit in my face, and you preach good news to him. You find the man who thrust the spear in my side. You tell them there's a quicker way to my heart. Now that is how the Lord has forgiven us. Now it's your turn. What a great word from D.L. Moody. Loved one, listen. You know it, and I know it. And when I talk about forgiveness in Philemon, when we finally arrive there, you know that forgiveness, when someone's hurt you, it's not pardon, is it? No, I pardon you. It's okay that you did what you did to me and lied about me. You destroyed my business, or you destroyed my marriage, whatever it might be. You know, forgiveness is not pardon. But one of the greatest things that I ever learned about forgiveness is this: forgiveness or forgiving other people is not an emotion. Boy, that set me free. Oh no, it's, in other words, I just don't feel like I've forgiven them. Are you following me? Come on, we've all been. But then when I see them, I want to kick them, man. You know, I mean, no, now listen, forgiveness is not pardon. Forgiveness is not emotion. Forgiveness is obedience to the Lord. You told me to forgive them, and that means to release them. Here, there they are. You know what they did? Take them, because I got my hand on their throat. No, I don't. Come on. And give them to the Lord. Yes, listen. See, when you forgive, you are not submitting to the one who hurt you, you're submitting to the one who died for you. Amen? And that's what it is all about, loved one. And look at verse 14 concerning the new man. It says, but above all these things, all the virtues that we just talked about, those five things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That's the ultimate garment. That's the one right there. That is what holds the new humanity together. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, put on love. That is a command. So all the virtues in verse 13, they will never reach their potential in the new man, the new body, unless they are empowered by the agape or the love of God. It has to be done that way. So love is the belt. Love is the bond that holds all of us together. Amen. Remember what it says in Colossians, what it was 1:17. It says, by him all things consist, meaning Jesus. He holds everything together. Well, there it is right here. This love holds everything together. And it says perfection, meaning completeness. It means maturity. It means becoming like Christ Jesus himself. So the new man, he puts on love. That's one of the vision scriptures for this church. Amen? John 13, 34 and 35, the new commandment. Jesus told the disciples, he tells us in the upper room, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this the world will know that you're my disciples, amen? Or all will know that you're my disciples. Loved one, listen, you know what? The new man, if you're maturing, the new man never treats love like a noun, a thing, okay? No, no, love isn't a noun. Love is a verb, amen? We treat, it means you, love is action. We show our love. We demonstrate our love. We walk in love. The new man doesn't talk about love. He literally practices love. Did Jesus just talk about love? No. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, what did he do? That God proved his own love toward us. Proved, demonstrated his own love. How? Christ died for us, the ungodly. Oh, listen. Jesus told us in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep. That word means guard. Keep, value, treasure. Keep my commandments. See, Christianity is not law. Christianity is a person, amen? He is the head of the church. So what is Jesus saying? He says, if you love me, listen, we are to obey the most loving person that has ever lived on this planet, amen? We obey the Lord, the new humanity, the church. We obey the Lord. We put on all these garments. Why? We love the Lord. His love is living in us. Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, this is love for God, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, or they're not burdensome, if you will. Love for the Lord is never demonstrated by words. It is demonstrated always by our doing. Amen. Remember what it said in 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 15, the new man, watch this now. And let the peace of God, or literally it should read the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, that's not individually, this is, watch, but the whole body, look at it, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Thankful. So the new man, this is your part. You have, it says let, that's your part. You let the peace of Christ himself that is already given unto you. What did Jesus tell us in John 14:27? He said, peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, he says, I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have right now the peace of Christ dwelling within us, amen? Yes, our spirit is borne witness with his spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, okay? Now, with all that being said, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:14 that Jesus himself is our peace. Now, if you looked at Colossians 1:20, it would say the blood of his cross, it brought that peace as well. So that peace has already been given to us into the new humanity or into the new body, which is the church, and Jesus is the head. Does that make sense? Okay, now, but here's the word. The word rule is only found here in the New Testament, and it literally means to act as umpire. No different than in an athletic contest. You know, if you're playing baseball, strike, you're out, or whatever the other rules in baseball are. You know what I mean? So Jesus is our divine umpire. Now listen carefully. The five virtues that are listed there, they are all directed by Jesus. Does that make sense? The tender mercies and the compassion, long-suffering and patience, all the things that are listed, he is the umpire. Sometimes when we have compassion, like let's say with the world or even in the church, you know, this person is, hurting or whatnot, maybe financially, you want to go and help, and all of a sudden it stops. It's like you have an umpire that says, not now. Does that make sense? See, sometimes we enable people to stay where they are. Silver and gold, what did it say to the beggar? Peter and John, silver and gold have I none. I have nothing to keep you, Mr. Beggar, in your condition. Acts chapter 3, remember? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. You see, sometimes God says, no, wait, you're going to enable them. See, he directs our tender mercies. That's so vital. Why? Because we're a body. God sometimes disciplines. Does that make sense? Yeah, and that's so, so important, love. And so he directs that meekness and that forgiveness and all the rest of it. We obey him. And if you don't have a peace, don't do it. Don't ever violate your peace. Boy, that is the worst thing that we can do, loved one. Jesus is our counselor. Now, listen carefully. One body, we equally share the same position, but unfortunately in the body, even though we're connected, sometimes other members of the body, the one body, they don't always practice their position. Amen? Every Christian, I'm telling you today more than ever, every Christian should be asking themselves this, or think about this. The life of every church, and let's just use Calvary. The life of Calvary Chapel depends upon every member in the body. Every member. I need you. You don't exist for me to serve you. You exist to serve the body. Does that make sense? Romans 12:3. Now, listen to me now. Ask yourself this. If every member of the body, this one new humanity, if every member loved like I love, gave like I gave, served like I gave, forgave like I forgive, what kind of church would we be? Does that make sense? Well, we need to ask ourselves that because we all need to be obedient to this, what we are learning today about the church. We have to practice these things. And he says also the new man does something else. Let the word of Christ dwell or have permanent residence, be at home, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And that wisdom, of course, is Colossians 2:3, the wisdom and knowledge of Christ. So that's our part. Again, we let our heart become a storehouse for the word of God. And it doesn't say just dwell. It says richly dwell, which means that's more than just reading your Bible. That means we have to meditate. We have to study. We have to rightly divide the word. Amen? And then it will richly dwell in you. But look again, it says, let the word of Christ, the word of Christ, the word there is logos. Jesus is the logos, amen? Now, the word of Christ, what is the message of Christ? In context, we'd have to probably use Matthew 4:4. Remember what Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell richly in you. And look what it produces. It says teaching or instructing and warning or admonishing one another. Here it comes in Psalms. When's the last time you warned somebody in a psalm? You know what I mean? I don't want to even start on that one. Those are the Old Testament. Amen? Look at the next one. And hymns. Those are hymns composed by Christians. Spiritual songs, those are songs given by the Holy Spirit. Over in Corinthians, remember what Paul says, I sing with my spirit, I sing with the spirit and also sing with my understanding. So those are songs given by the Spirit. Singing grace or that attitude of gratitude, where? In your hearts. Now look at what it says. Not about the Lord, singing to the Lord. Boy, that is so important. This is a rare glimpse, loved one, into the early gatherings of believers in Colossae. This is how they were doing things. And so there's a famine of godly biblical songs today. Did you know that? Let's go on. Verse 17. And here it comes, the last thing on the new man. And whatever you do, in other words, whatever it might be in your life, whatever you do in word, that's what comes out of your mouth. Whatever you do in word, whatever you do in deed, that's action, doing things. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Word or deed, that takes up nearly everything in our life. Amen. Whenever we speak and act in the name of Jesus Christ, we're acting as his representative. Amen? And we have to do something. 1 John, what was it? 1 John 2:6. If we say that we abide in him, then we should also walk as he walked. And that's what that means. So everything that we do in deed, work, play, loving others, just living our life. So we've put off the old man and his deeds. We put on the new man. So we need to become who we are in Christ Jesus. And look at this. It says words, everything that goes out of my mouth, everything that passes my lips. That takes you back to verse 8. And which is the sins of the speech. In verse 9, don't lie one to another. And you know, we don't gossip or lie and so forth. It takes us over to 4:6 of Colossians, to where that we give answers with grace and salt and so forth. And then the last one, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I don't know how we cannot give thanks. I mean, even Paul, Ephesians 1:3, you know, and thanks be unto God the Father who has pronounced us what? Blessed in the heavenlies with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians, another one. 2 Corinthians, what, 2:14. Thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph or in victory in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Man, we can go through. We're complete in him. We're completely forgiven in him. Loved one, we're raised with him. We're seated with him. How can we not give thanks? Look at let's close with verse 3 of Colossians 3. For you died. We're not the old man anymore. That's past tense. And your life, this is present tense, the new man, is hidden with Christ in God. It's hidden right this minute, right now, and forever. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's future tense. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this day, for this word. We are the new creation, the new man, the new humanity, the church of which Christ is the head. And Lord God, as our heads are bowed, every Christian praying, Lord, I know not all hearts, but you do. And if there's anyone here that's not saved, that Jesus, if you're not their Lord, may I just speak to you that you can put on the new man right now and get rid of the old man. And the new man, let me tell you his name. His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so if that's you, just say, Bill, if you're not a believer, listen, you don't have to come here. Down here, just lift your hand and say, pray for me. I just want Christ Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Anyone, I'll put it right up, put it right back down, and we're going to pray. Father, I believe that everyone here is born from above, and we're all ambassadors for Christ, and heaven is our home. I pray, Lord, that I did justice to your text this morning. I pray that you would excuse all my stumbling and stuttering, and somehow translate all of that into your perfect word. We love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. If you're visiting with us for the very first time in our early service, I'm going to depart over to the main lobby. I'd love to meet you. You can stop and find out more about Calvary. Maybe we could answer any questions. If you need prayer, as always, when Jesse closes us out, you're free to come to the altar, and people will be here to pray over you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.